Yes, if you would like to have any question, that would be better. Yes, that would be better. What did it appeal to you from the talk which was given you this evening?
Fellowship with one another.
Oh, that is for sin, Nigel.
The great love of God for his devotee. The great love of God for his devotee.
I like the greatest love for his master.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
Let us love for his master.
Master, is there an appointed time under divine law when a seeking disciple is led to the master? Is there an appointed time under divine law?
Yes, almost appointed time.
Since you think that so many have been searching most of their lives and studying and searching, trying to understand spiritual realization, and then all of a sudden led to a great being to have that realization awakened within them, but they have spent perhaps half their life just searching and searching. And
the time spent in searching is counted. Our master used to say, "Father, let your whole life be spent in searching. Don't be afraid now." So, within in search, the two masters, he gets the two masters. It is a life and death problem, you see. To just surrender your soul to someone. When you surrender, you become the master. And a girl when is married away to husband, you see. In the West it is becoming more business now, excuse me. But in India, once a man married away, she never cares of where she will eat, where from she will get the clothes. That's nothing. You can have dreams of it. When you are just, you give up everything to somebody, he has to care for. When you surrender yourself to somebody, well, he is dead. As he told of Father Abraham, he went to Bazaar and purchased a slave, you see. In those days that was the custom. He brought him home. He said, "All right, sit down." He asked him, "Where will you sit?" He said, "Wherever you want me to sit." "What will you eat?" "Whatever you give me to eat." "Now what clothes you require?" "Okay, whatever you like." Then he heaved a long sigh. "Oh God, he is better than me." When he has become somebody, he has no choice left in whatsoever. No desire. When you surrender everything to God and God in man, then it was a question of any desire left. He freed him. "You go. I must become such a slave of God." All the time spent in searching is good. Because though you have just entered the field of intellect, you must be satisfied why, about the why and wherefore of things. Otherwise, even they take up the way, they won't progress, because the question is arising within him. First such, when you sit at the feet of somebody, stop all such things. Stop all your mindset from ramifications. Stop everything. Go on what he wants you to do. Do it. He never wants you to leave your home or anything. He wants to live such a life. We say so much, but we do not live up to that much. An ounce of practice and more than tons of theories. I think each one of us knows so much. If anybody, any one of you were asked to give a talk, you'll give a wonderful talk. Or they may say, well, love all, hate none. How will there do not hate anybody? Saying is something else. Living is something else. Even if you take one item, live up to it, you'll change. All other things will come in, all virtue. First take the outside thing. Suppose you won't, you observe non-violence. Then you'll have to control your tongue first. You'll have to control the thoughts. Thoughts are potent, they react. You would not like to usurp anyone's rights. You will not disrespect anybody. Anybody. You love for all natural desires. So you, then when that follows, naturally when you don't like to harm anybody, you see, even the word, deed and thought, mind, word and deed. Well, you never tell lies. Why you tell? You see, for telling lies, man must require a good memory. You know this? You tell lies to one man something, another man something, third man something. You must be all the while working. What did I tell him? You just leave it, I tell you. Anybody comes to you, hear him. He's a told a lie. After 2 days again, he will say something else, still. He is all the time afraid, lest his lie may not be out. So you'll follow him, keep quiet. Say, a month or two, you'll find, he will himself say different things because he has a bad memory. Yeah. So you got, now you won't tell lies. You won't hate anybody. Non-violence means not hating anyone. If you tell you the truth, tell truth, observe truthfulness, other things will follow. So you've done anything wrong. Yeah. If anybody asks, what have you done? If you tell the truth, then the cat is out of the bag. You won't tell lies. Have you thought anything against him? No. You told to somebody against him, naturally that goes. Secret is secret only so far as it is within your own best. You tell to some other, your dear friend, he has got also dear friend. So, take anyone with you, others follow. And you, if you come in contact with the sound principle, light principle, with the, all virtues will come. Swamiji, Shivdar Singh. tells us those who are thieves, those who do not devote time to the practice, they are all a fall in passions of lust, greed, anger, egotism. These things naturally come. The more you come in contact with that, all virtues will come up. Guru Nanak says, if you begin to hear the sound principle continuously, you will become the abode of all virtues. One is interlinked with the other. Somebody will bring me the diaries, very good diaries on the face of it. They also show some time also. And that is not, but it should be. I think to tell dear friend, if your diary, this is correct, you should have gone to the third plane. We must be true to our own self. You can deceive others, not to the God in you, nor the God power or Christ power or power which is within you. Be true to your own self. Well, you have nothing to fear. So pure life is required. You taught something, do something. And if you love, all things are so funny. Love is no love. It is no sense in love. It is charity, love for God, love for all, for the God in them. You try to live up to it. No. This is the main thing required. Just teach others what should be conduct of life. In one word, that is, somebody went to Vyas. Vyas was a great teacher. So what is called dharma, what should be conduct of life, which accrues peace, happiness. And he said, look here, treat others as you would like to be treated by others. So if you talk ill of others, suppose anybody would talk ill of you, how would you feel? If you rob others, how do you think it? He's robbing you, then how do you take it? This was also Christ said so. Whenever you do anything, think anything, you see. Think, mind, word, say anything, practically do anything. First think. If this very thing, somebody else is going to meet out to you, what will you do? How will you feel it? Would you like it? I don't think. So conduct of life has to be clean, you see. This is what is God to do, and this is a criterion. We cannot deceive God, you see. We can deceive everybody. Man lives up 100% what the Master says, the God in him, I think. Anybody is sure to change. Of course, the disciple should not be in a hurry to go out, but if the Master is also inclined to take him out for that, that's the way, that's all. It's God's grace that you get something to start with the very first day. Even the, I don't think any average person individually, what more grace can there be? Live up. molecule, what does it cost? We are devoted to the worldly thing so much so that we never care for our own spiritual health. So you have to leave. Notice comes at 3 hours this washing tomorrow morning at 6. And at midnight class then. What does it do? So whatever we do, you see, there was one meek, he's a Descartes, you see, Rama, very big, well-known Rama. One saint passed him. He looked at him, his jaw was just to plunder away everything what he got, he would take away the clothes of the man concerned and kill him. When he met him, he looked at him, all right, what you've got is just this and that. He told him, what are you doing, dear friend? I have to live on that, I have to just, my family, they are dependent on me, I have to earn money somehow or other. All right. Then he told him, look here, you go home. Kindly ask your wife, children, you see it is a sin, what you're doing. Yes. Then ask them, this sin, what are they going to share with you? In the sin that you are now committing? He said, well, very active man. I go home and he run away. Each one has to see from his own level of thinking. No, dear friend, I don't go. You tie me up with the tree and then go home, inquire your wife and children and others. They will share with you this sin what you're committing. It appealed to him. He said, all right, let me tie you. He tied him with the tree, you see. Went home, said, well, look here, I just plunder everybody, kill them, bring the money, and I'll just maintain you. It is a sin. Would you share the sin with me? Why should I sin? I have to eat, bring you wherever, in whatever way you can help. Then he went to the children, everybody was, nobody was going to share the sin for him with him. He came back. What did you find the reply? He said, nobody is going to share with me in the sin I am committing daily. Then he awakened and said, what has sin I commit, they eat everybody. Use it I only after 2 loaves of bread, you see. Why to commit sin? He refrained from that. And he became a later on Valmik Rishi. Turned out to be Rishi. He was in a samadhi like that. That he sat down in samadhi and the all ants formed their houses on his body. The Valmik means like that. The little creepers' homes on the body. So everything that what is earned, it is not right. You commit sin, live simple lives. You would not have to commit sin or do anything like that. Once it so happened, our master used to go to Baba Khan, that very man I mentioned about yesterday. Even here, you used to went in, he always gave him some $10 or 10 rupees there. Next time he was in field area, he went home with money, he had good money. You see. Went there and gave him the same 10. Baba Khan told him, look here, you got so much money, earned so much, you give me only 10. Haven't you got any more money? You want money? Yes, I want. All right. I want so much. The master told her, you become greedy. What did he say? He said, no, no. You see, you leave away, somebody else will take away. I've got to use. My purpose, even now, your duty, even you are not doing very honestly. Sometimes you waste a few minutes, some time in talking something, gossiping, you see. I mean to say, he said that whatever you have been not very honest even in doing your, you see, duty, that some percentage should be taken up. Much is spent for the good of others, to the poor, to the needy, so that your income may be all pure. So on your money stand, on your own license here with others, but this is not the, not everything, but the main thing is just your spiritual side should be there. After everything will remain here, whether you've got hundreds or thousands or millions. Of course, the way you want the money, that will go along with you. Actions and reactions will pass. So life, you see, content of life should change. All of that is changing, even if you've got it, nobody cares for you. People judge by the way you live. Harassment. He was the president of the Arya Samaj, you see, movement. He was very strict. Everybody was afraid of talking to him, you see. Very strict. He would not spare anybody. Everybody, whenever he came, everybody was afraid. Lest we should say something, there may be wrath on us, you see. He was initiated by our master. What he was doing, he was all along, all through night sitting, doing meditation. Daytime work, that night the whole thing. He changed altogether. The people who were afraid of him became very sympathetic, loving, given to the poor, sharing with others, all for the good cause, even like that. Then our master went to Rawalpindi perhaps. How many people came up for initiation? Have you, Master, have you heard any talk? Can they know? Those people said, no, we have not heard no talk, nothing of it. What have you seen? You have seen that man that is made by coming to your feet. So, example, you see, appeals to all of us. Why are satsang defamed? We are responsible. When there is love, there is love and sacrifice and service for one another, at least if you live all loving ways. Others, that will appeal to them. They will run up to you. You may have got the very high teachings, but your life does not bear it out. They say, oh, it's not. An example is better than the chef. In the old Sikh times, if any man, any Sikh, the follower of the Sikh religion, he went to the court of the Mohammedans, he would say something. They say a Sikh can never tell lie. Similar was the case with our master. In the beginning, those who went to him, it was known to the court, the man going to him does not tell lie. Yes? So life appears to everybody. You have belonged to this, for instance, you are coming here. You are chaste, you are loving, you don't think evil of others, you don't rob others' rights. You have helped others. If need to, you sacrifice your interest for others. Then naturally, everybody will where are you going? To what person you go? One life is, you see, advertisement, broadcasting, all of this. So life is required. So heart should be pure, you see. No ill will for anybody. No usurpation, no domination, no. Always giving, sacrificing, without any consideration. So if you go, do good to others and they do good to others, what is it in business? If others don't do you good, and you still do them good, that's what you are doing. I quoted you, I think, this evening talk, there were a group preaching against our master, side by side. They were very hard up, they could not manage for their eat and drink, those who attended, say, 100, 200 people. He knew that if they were preaching against him with all that, it was a difference. You have the trouble of, you are taking food, and so if everything is ready, you can have your food here morning and evening. These are the ways which appeal to others, you see. If somebody does you good and you do him good, what is it? That's about natural, it's a decent life. It is spoken of Prophet Moses. Somebody came up to him, you see, stranger. It is now amongst the Mohammedans the custom that when you eat food, never eat alone. Call somebody, anybody who has not eaten food. That an old man should go up the roof and call for if any man who had not taken food, let him come up. So one man came up. The food was served and began to eat. Then Moses very resented. Oh, why don't you pray God first and then eat? He walked. They say God inspired and told him, well, Moses, he has not prayed God. I gave him food. Why you resent? So life changes. If your business is what is superiority in you, what is it? What is the superiority in you? If your business like, do to others in a way, even others are selfless way, you see. If anybody does not love you, you begin to love. Don't do anything harm to him, you see. Friendly way, that's what them. So these are very minor things, I tell you, but they got great effect on our meditations. The journey, they are introduced with some purpose to meet with the times. But if one does not live up to it, then it is, they don't. What you say, misfortune. When I started this way under orders of my master, you see, people all get experiences. The pure, yes, he's falling. He's just distributing his spirituality. He'll be lost, you see. He'll become bankrupt. I don't know if it is mine, I'll become bankrupt, you see. If it is my master's business. Our master used to say, I don't find any man who can distribute freely. We give, you see, we give something in charge to give to somebody, for instance, a store for distribution. Well, the duty of that man is to give out who needs it. Then what becomes? Those who respect you, you'll give them. Those who don't respect you, oh, stay away. You tend not to give them. So these are very minor things, I tell you. In our daily life, we find it in almost everywhere.
Good morning, and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The talk you just heard was titled Searching and Surrender and was recorded on January 25th, 1964 in Washington, D.C. Our reader this morning is Claire Stannard. Good morning, Claire.
Good morning, David. I'm reading this morning from Spiritual Elixir, Book 1, starting at Chapter 1, Social Conduct and Ethical Life. These are excerpts from letters from Kirpal Singh. I appreciate your selfless service for the holy cause of the Master when you are privileged to conduct satsangs and convey instructions for initiation to the dear ones under the protective guidance of the Master. It is a rare blessing to be instrumental in the divine setup. A spirit of selflessness and self-abnegation invokes his gracious mercy and compassion in great abundance. Your reverential humility and devotion for him will bless you with inner peace and harmony. Please convey my love to all the members in your group individually and encourage them to write to me about their spiritual progress at regular intervals so as to seek guidance where necessary. The moral code of an ethical life must be strictly adhered to. A pure and chaste life is a necessary prerequisite for progress on the path to God. These are fundamentals that allow no relaxation whatsoever. Anyone transgressing them will have to reap the fruit thereof. These words may sound stiff, but the Father does not wish his children to go astray. He has overwhelming love for them, and their uplift is his foremost job. I am glad you have a better appreciation of the value of the satsang meetings, which are always inspiring, helpful, and beneficial, as Master's love and grace is radiated in abundance therein, and all those present receive the life impulses from the Master power working overhead. In group meetings, the entire congregation assimilates the overflowing grace of the Master, and occasionally the radiant presence of the Master is experienced by the audience. Such meetings have a deep, inspiring significance and therefore should be cherished in all loving devotion. It is a natural desire of an initiate to rise high in the inner planes and meet within the radiant and charming Master and enjoy his grace and blessings as well as the perfect peace and bliss of those regions. Difficulties often block the way. They must be overcome. You have a strong one over your head. Take refuge in him. Why should a child ever feel shy in writing to his father? Everyone who has learned to ride has experienced many a fall. To fall in sin is manly, but to remain there is devilish. Please do not be disheartened. Do avoid uncongenial society and be regular and earnest in your meditation. Do your best and leave the rest to the power overhead, and do not worry. No amount of worry will help you. Let him worry for you. You do your small part in humility. Romantic life on the physical plane appears charming. It has its attraction, but it is debasing. It leaves behind horrible bitterness and a dislike for life. Life on the higher planes is more romantic and gives eternal peace and joy. So why lose a higher and purer thing for lower and debasing transitory things? One has, therefore, to stick to one's principles and not violate the rule of purity and ethics. And he who does this receive all the necessary help in his efforts and is greatly benefited. those who are now better situated may have been like you some time back or even worse off. They persevered and did the right thing. It gave them strength and power. You can do likewise. It is just a matter of starting anew. Start right now. The Master is anxious to see you progress. He wants his initiates to rise to sublime heights and have their bowls filled to the brim with the nectar of God consciousness. But the bowls must be first emptied of the rubbish that they contain in order to make room for the nectar to be put in. Seek only that company which is helpful to you. Discard all others lovingly and unprovokingly. You will surely make progress. But remember one thing. Rome was not built in a day. It required a huge effort and toil from hundreds and thousands of people for a very long time. Your discipline may not have to be as severe, but you cannot have what you want so easily. You must work for it. But be sure that with a little work, you will get better results. The Master wants you all to develop love and humility. These must be lived with tolerance. It is regrettable that these virtues are absent in those with whom you come across. But that is no reason for anyone to go that way. Spiritual science is very definite, and whoever, even the vilest of the vile, follows it, is changed for the better. If some people who have been put on the way are not changed for the better, it is purely due to their fault, and not that the science is wrong. This is the most perfect way given out by all the masters who came in the past. Our day-to-day life should be a living testimony of what we profess. This is the long and the short of the whole thing. Everyone must learn it, and the sooner the better. Reformers are wanted, not of others, but of themselves. It is better to see one's own faults and try to remove them than to pick holes in others. You have asked my consent to visit India to sit at the holy feet of the Master. How can a loving father deny such a loving gesture for his beloved children who have come, who have unquestionably a birthright in this respect? The Master and his congregation would be very glad to greet you, and dear. I may, however, remind you of your spiritual obligations there in the States, which you have been fortunate enough to undertake, becoming a source of inspiration for many a dear one. If you can afford to have leisure to come, you may undertake the voyage. There is no objection to it. But please know that I am planning a world tour which may mature before long, and I will be visiting your country by next spring, which will afford you the opportunity of traveling with me. I will be glad to see the manuscript of your beautifully written devotional poems, which you intend to compile for the welfare of the dear ones on the sacred path and for raising funds towards the building of an ashram in the States. That will, with his grace, serve a cause and be a source of help and inspiration to many. I quite appreciate your adoration for the Master and your anguish for emergence into his divinity. Please relax so that the gracious Master power engulfs you in its splendor and glory. Let the ego be completely annihilated, and you emerge out of and above the plane of duality, forgetting all about your I-hood. Self-denial and abnegation is another stepping stone to the climax of spirituality. Be completely immersed in the sweet glory of his remembrance, altogether oblivious of the past or future. Just resign and surrender in favor of his divine will. The nectar of life needs a most transparent receptacle to be poured into for distributing to the thirsty children. You need not worry about the opinions of others. Views based upon one's own testimony are the best. Every person receives help according to his individual receptivity. All are on the way to perfection. All that each dear one has to do is to carry on with meditations regularly, with love, faith, and devotion, and to develop from day to day. All necessary help is extended from the Master Power within and without. Attendance at the satsang is a very helpful factor for one's spiritual progress. The organizers, along with the laborers in the field, should always consider that the satsang is that of the Master, and offer their loving service and cooperation, however small, to add to the tranquility and congeniality of the satsang. I will be very happy to see love and sweet cooperation between the children of the same Father on the road to the same Godhood. Humanity has always been on trial. The human body is a precious asset granted by Providence in the ascending scale of evolution. Thy days are numbered is a positive truth. Those who earnestly work towards spiritual perfection under the protective guidance of the Master utilize their tenure on earth to the best advantage, which results in their eventual liberation from the wheel of life. A liberated soul becomes a source of help as well as inspiration to others who cross his or her path. Although the tide of destruction is on the increase and all of humanity is overtaken with the fear of annihilation from the destructive weapons, yet the benign Master Power controlling the destiny of child humanity is always exercising his gracious protection. It is an age of prosperity, and spiritual grace is being extended to all, irrespective of color, class, or creed. I appreciate your precious efforts in becoming instrumental in the divine setup. It is a rare blessing to be chosen for such a holy cause. When you bring back the dreary and forlorn to the living Master for their spiritual liberation from the wheel of life. Your combined and cooperative efforts in this cause will bring life and light to many a dear one awaiting their turn. It is a reward in itself, and it is the climax of divine grace. No doubt hard and difficult times await us, but those who are living chaste lives and remain devoted to the Master and to God will pass through them unscathed. All initiates are on the way. Some have developed more than others. So some may have more faults and failings than the others. We have to hate the sin and love the sinner. Those who are doing the Master's work in helping others to find a way back need and command our help and more tolerance. Example is better than precept. Fortunate are the chosen few who are blessed with the rare privilege of instilling faith and right understanding in their less fortunate brethren for their spiritual enlightenment. When a disciple, having found a true master, has developed such absolute love for him and steadily purifies himself, he becomes a recipient of divine grace. I wish all disciples to meet God in this life. Keep the physical body pure by keeping all outgoing faculties pure. Follow the teachings of the Masters and meditate faithfully. Learn self-control train your desires. Be pure and be active. But let that activity be dedicated to God and God power working through Master. To forgive and forget is what one must practice in thoughts, words, and in deeds, so that they may become a part and parcel of daily living from day to day. Love knows no criticism, no imposition, no boasting, no reflection on others' shortcomings, but works in a constructive way to cement all in one loving fold of the Master. Love beautifies everything. Do not concern yourself with the fruits of your deeds. Leave that to the Master. Make your love for him so complete that, beholding his hand in everything, you may rise above all feelings of enmity, rivalry, and resentment. See him present in every experience, and remember, he is always with you, ready to assist whenever you turn your thoughts to him. And above all, remember, he is not to be won by words, but by deeds. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you can do this, if you can conquer the self and surrender it at the feet of the Master, you can learn to see him working through all things. If you can accept the fact of your own limited vision, if you can undertake a ceaseless and zealous watch over your thoughts and deeds, weeding out all evil and all imperfection, you shall not only win salvation for yourself, but you will be an example for others to do likewise. Your example will shine like a torch in the darkness, and then even those who may first oppose you will turn to you for guidance and help. You will find a new sense of peace surging through you, a peace that does not depend on the absence of outer disturbances, but is an inner state of mind that stands unshaken even in the most temptatious situations. And the same quality shall enter not only your individual life, but the larger life of the great spiritual movement of which you are a part. It is so good that you enjoy the satsangs, and that the dear ones help you with transportation. It is a rare bliss to be amidst the sacred circle of devoted disciples of the Master, where loving devotion for his holy feet is fostered with his grace. We must reform ourselves before we can reform others, but unfortunately we are always anxious to reform others. We should weed out all imperfections one by one by self-introspection, and this will bring peace all around. Love beautifies everything, and if we learn to love everyone, all our imperfections can be washed away, especially by loving kind words. If two drunkards can...
I'm afraid we've lost Claire. Maybe it's a phone problem. I've got a master's talk here that I can continue to read for the rest of our satsang this morning. This is the master's talk, How I Met My Master. And Claire, if you reestablish contact, feel free to break in. As it appears from my form, I was born in a Sikh family. Man is social. He must have some social body to live in. So he is born in one family or the other, and he has to remain in some social body. I had an inkling from my childhood about God. Each man has his particular background. When reading the Sikh scriptures, I used not to ruminate over them, but read them carefully. I used to open the Sikh scriptures and read only one hymn, not many pages, and put it in writing. I kept it before me all throughout the day, thinking that this is the lesson given to me. The more you read something again and again, the more you will find in it. Generally, when we read the scriptures, we ruminate over them. We read 2 or 4 or 10 pages and go on reading, and we do not know what we have read, even after we have left the scriptures. We forget. You're back?
I am. I'm very sorry.
No problem. Continue. Carry on.
Thank you. We must reform ourselves before we can reform others. But unfortunately, we are always anxious to reform others. We should weed out all imperfections one by one by self-introspection, and this will bring peace all around. Love beautifies everything, and if we learn to love everyone, all our imperfections can be washed away, especially by loving kind words. If two drunkards can sit together in a tavern, why can't two devotees of God and Master sit together in love for each other? If we find this difficult, it is because we have not yet tasted the exhilarating elixir of divine love. The reading of the scriptures and the wisdom given out by the Masters cannot give us an ounce of love for God or man. The food that is digested will give you strength, and that which is not digested will result in indigestion, leading to diverse ailments. We know so much about scriptures and the wisdom given to us by our Masters, but we have not made that a part and parcel of our living, with the result that may be better seen than described. Individual failures do retard our progress and also defame the cause of the Masters by setting a bad example to others. A disciple's foremost job is to develop spiritually and be with his or her Master. An overwhelming and prayerful desire, when aroused in an initiate, bears fruit. The satsang meetings are places where his grace blooms to saturate the participants through and through. It is a serene attitude that you have compassion for the downtrodden, but you should not worry or try to reform them, as their outlook is limited and they cannot comprehend your helping attitude. The law of karma is inexorable, and everybody will have his or her turn in due course to be benefited spiritually through the gracious Master power working overhead. The maximum you should do is to point out to them that they can benefit from satsang and the living Master. The rest is for them to follow. The ready ones will come up with his grace. Selfless service is a great virtue, and accordingly means some extra labor and sacrifice. It is the manifestation of love and goodness. Mind and body become sanctified through selfless service, provided it is undertaken without ego or vanity. Love knows service and sacrifice. A humble person knows best how to serve the holy cause under the protective guidance of the living Master. The climax of selfless service is the annihilation of the ego, considering oneself to be a humble servant of the Lord, Master, entrusted with certain duties to be carried out through him or her, and deeming it to be a fortune of the highest order. The path of the Masters is not a path of blind faith, but one of seeing things for oneself. The souls who are ready will be drawn to the holy path. To those who are already on the way, satsang is important and is an aid for receiving and enjoying the loving grace of the Master. Remembrance of God is the main thing before us to find the way to Him. The purpose of all devotional exercises, places of worship, and pilgrimages is the same. The human body is the veritable temple of God. When the disciple lives an ethical life, this provides a fertile ground for the spiritual seed to grow quickly. All children are equally dear to the Master, and he wants them to blossom into beautiful, loving flowers, emitting the deep fragrance of God's love. And Master's love for his children surpasses all things, whether they are jewelry, gold, or pearls. He wants his children to receive such gifts of a spiritual nature, so that by comparison, the millions of other gifts made of gold and diamonds just fade into insignificance. It is his rare divine grace that you are blessed with the great boon of right understanding, so that you see everything in its right perspective. The gracious protection being extended to you by the rare presence of the Master and his Master within the eye focus is the climax of divine grace. He is invariably with you, and you are fortunate in bearing testimony for sacred truth. The diary is planned to be a personal thing for the information of the Master and a helpful and sweet reminder for the initiate not to deflect from the right path, and also to help him progress from day to day by improving. And if there is no improvement, to ponder and reflect why this is so. It is a very useful thing. A spiritually developed person would be obliged to be more sober and tolerant in his dealings as he is enriched with the firm conviction of the temporary aspects of this world and knows that he is bound for his holy voyage to the true home of the Father. God is love, and Master is love personified, and anyone coming his way is blessed with his loving care and guidance. You are fortunate enough to bear testimony to this truth, and may in turn prove helpful to the weary and forlorn souls struggling hard for emancipation. Those who are doing the Master's work selflessly and in a spirit of love will surely receive help and an uplift. Those who are feeling vain are damaging their own interests. I wish everyone would try to appreciate the other's point of view and to act lovingly. I am glad to know you are enjoying success in holding the satsang. It is a service of the highest order, and fortunate are the chosen few who are made instrumental in the divine setup for bearing the torch. You may rest assured that the more you will be reposing your efforts in him, with deep faith and humility, more of serene bliss and harmony will fall to your lot. The sacred importance of the holy meditations and complete surrender to the Master power should be stressed on the initiates. You say disciples are very important people to you. This is natural. There is an affinity between travelers on the same road, and more so in the case of initiates as they walk on the holy path. They are destined to go to the same place, which is their true home. I expect everyone to behave lovingly and to be tolerant and to exhibit in all matters a spirit of humility and self-discipline. It will give them serenity and peace. The teachings of the Masters are based on plain and simple truth and love. It may be lived and enjoyed. How does the Master wish everyone to come up to him within so that they may have a glimpse of true peace and tranquility, and to enjoy in ever-increasing measure his loving grace and blessings? No initiate should worry about his or her past life, nor be anxious about the future. The present is in their hands, and they should make the most of it. Their action lies in kind thoughts, kind acts, and kind deeds. The more they live up to the teachings of the Masters, the more they will be given the treasures of divinity. And I'll conclude there. I'm very sorry for the interruption. And I was reading again from Spiritual Elixir, Book 1, starting at the beginning of Chapter 1, Social Conduct and Ethical Life.
Thank you, Claire, for reading for us. We had 81 callers at today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us. Now, please hang up your phones.